Yes, to speak a little bit about Nedarma Shavuos Bizan Hazeh. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, you may or may not be familiar with. Is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. The question is, what is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? What are you supposed to learn? So the Pasuk says, you should be keeping the mitzvahs, then it says, Olamadatam Osam, Mishmartam Lasosam, you should learn all of the mitzvahs, and you should observe all the mitzvahs. So some people think that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to ask a good kasha, to say a good teretz, or to be sharp or something. That's the dessert, that's the icing on top of the cake, the third dessert. The main din of Talmud Torah is to learn what are the 630 mitzvahs, so Olamadatam Osam, Mishmartam Lasosam. To learn all the 630 mitzvahs and to know all the billions of details of each mitzvah. To learn Kol HaTorah Kula, to know. So the Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and then the whole Mishnah Torah is at the beginning of every section. The Rambam says, Hilchos Shabbos is going to have so many mitzvahs. So many mitzvahs says is how many mitzvahs lo says. And then Hilchos Yonchev is going to have so many mitzvahs. Then Hilchos Taim and Nitan is going to have so many mitzvahs. By the time you get to the end of the Mishnah Torah, you've covered all the 630 mitzvahs, and you know all that the Torah Shebaal Peh has to say about it. So the Rambam has his opinion about the 630 mitzvahs, and he lists off what in his opinion are the 248 mitzvahs says and the 365 mitzvahs lo says. The Rambam was not the first, and he was not the last, and many disagree with the Rambam's listing, and they give a different listing. So the Ramban, every so often, has a hasakah. He disagrees with the Rambam, he deletes. Every so often, he'll delete a mitzvah, he'll add on another mitzvah, and so on and so forth. So in Mitzvah Sesei Tzadik Dalid, the Rambam is of the opinion, the Rambam writes, the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he writes what in his mind are the 14 klolim, that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the minyan mitzvahs and whether it should be counted as one mitzvah or many mitzvahs. Let's say the prohibition against being mechal Shabbos appears many times in Chumash. He only counts it as one mitzvah. So on. So the Rambam says whenever you have a kefil mitzvah, the same mitzvah repeated several times, you only count it once. So the Rambam writes, mitzvah says it's tzadik dalid. You count in the lavim first. The first half of the Sefer HaMitzvah gives you the 14 klolim, and then in the second half he gives you the listing of the mitzvahs. So first he lists the 248 mitzvahs essay, and then afterwards he lists the 365 mitzvahs lois essay. So on the lois essay he counts lo yachal devara. If a person takes a neder or a shavua, he's not allowed to violate that. Whatever he committed himself to, he's not allowed to violate. And in the listing of the mitzvahs essay, he says, Kol ha'yetzeh mipiv yaseh is a mitzvah essay. And then he quotes a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim where this is repeated. How does he say, Kisida nala shachach la'sach l'sham k'kdor shidir shen ha'sham k'ach mimach v'ayi b'chol chet. How does it go over there? Motzvah s'nasach ha'tishma v'yasisa k'asher ha'dalka l'sham k'ach l'ndova k'asher dibarta b'ficha. That's what it says in Chumash Dvarim. So the Rambam says that this is a repeat. It's the same mitzvah essay. Kol ha'yetz mipiv yaseh is a mitzvah essay, and mitzvah sechetish miyosisa kashen adarta l'shem alkech anadov is a repeat the same mitzvah essay. So the Ramban there is masik. He thinks that these should be counted as two different mitzvahs. He said there's a totally different mitzvah essay here. One is nidri horoshus and one is nidri mitzvah. In Parshas Matos you're talking about nidri horoshus. So let's say a person takes a neder. Person gets angry at his mother-in-law and he takes a shvua. I'm never going to walk into the mother-in-law's house. Or he's angry at the mother-in-law. He's not going to eat the mother-in-law's cookies. He asks the cookies, Benet. So then, and he observes it. He doesn't walk into the mother-in-law's house and he doesn't eat her cookies. So he has fulfilled the mitzvah's essay. Chol ha'yetz mipiv yaseh has a kiyum essay. The Ramban thinks that's not a kiyum essay. Like leking tefillin, like saying kriyat shema, like saying kiddush on Shabbos. It's an iser essay. If he took a neder not to eat the cookies are also, he took a shvua not to go into the mother-in-law's house, never to visit her, and he violates it, so then he's in violation of the yisur esei. But if he observes his neder or shvua, he doesn't have a kiyum mitzvah. He didn't violate the yisur esei. Masheini came the pasuk in Dvarim Moitzo Secha Tishma VeYasisa Kasher Adarta LaShem Kecha Nadava Kasher Dibarta BeFicho. That's talking about Nidrei Mitzvah. So Nidrei Mitzvah, the Ramban thinks that's a Kiyum Essay. If the person takes a neder to bring a korban, the person takes a neder to give tzedakah, the person takes a neder to learn all day long or something, to learn daf yomi, and he fulfills it, that's a kiyuma mitzvah. It's not just that he hasn't violated the iser esi of cholay esme pivyas. That's a kiyuma esi. So the Ramban thinks these should be counted as two different mitzvahs. One is a kiyuma esi, one is an iser esi. It's strange on the Rambam, why the Rambam, Rav Soloveitchik thought the Rambam also agrees that the kiyum esi and the nisur esi, but the Rambam thought that it's sufficiently similar that it should be included in one mitzvah. But he says he finds it hard to imagine that the Rambam is going to disagree with the Ramban on this point. Sometimes it's a nisur esi, only sometimes a kiyum esi. Then the Ramban says he thinks there are another two differences between nidrei harishus and nidrei mitzvah. The one difference is that one is a nisur esi, one is a kiyum esi. The other difference, he says, is lo sachel l'shalmai. You see the nether l'shalmakech lo sachel l'shalmai. He thinks that that only applies. That pasuk is right next to the other pasuk. You see the nether l'shalmakech. He says bal ta'acher only makes sense that it should be violated if it was a nidrei mitzvah. You take an eder to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. So if you wait too long, if you wait sholosh regalim, you're supposed to bring a regal rishon. When you oil a regal, you're supposed to bring a karbonis. And if you didn't, but if you didn't bring a regal harishon, so you were mevatel liyase of vasa shama ba'beisim shama. If you wait shalosh regalim, if you wait a whole year, sometimes a whole year can go by and it won't yet be shalosh regalim. So if you wait either a whole year or you wait shalosh regalim, then you're in violation of the loises of lo sacha l'shalma. Or the same thing by tzedakah, the Gemara says you can violate bal te'acher by tzedakah. What if a person takes a shvuah that sometime in his life, someday he will eat potato chips. Someday he will eat pizza, whatever. He never tasted pizza. Someday he will visit a lot, whatever. He takes a shvuah, he's going to do something. Is there a din that he has to hustle to do it before Sholosh Regalim, and otherwise he's in violation of Bal Te'acher? So the Ran Anadarim says yes. The Ran Anadarim says that the din of Bal Te'acher even applies to Nidri Harshus. And on the bottom of the page, on that daf in the Dorim, Rabbi Kivega tells you, look in the Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvah. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban thinks that that's only the Bal Te'acher Iser, only applies to Nidrei. Mitzvah doesn't apply to Nidrei Hoshus. And then the Ramban writes there in Mitzvah Sesed, Tzadik Dal, he thinks there's a third difference between Nidrei Mitzvah and Nidrei Hoshus, that you have to say, Hareini Noider, Hareini Nishba. By Nidrei Mitzvah, if a person says, they're making an appeal for tzedakah, and he says, I'm going to give $1,000. So he didn't say Hareini Nishba, he didn't say Hareini Noider. He says, I'm going to give a Korban Oil, I'm going to bring a Korban Shlomo. He doesn't have to say Hareini Noider, Hareini Nishba, he's mukhiyev to bring it. By Nidrei Mitzvah, you don't have to say Hareini Noider, Hareini Nishba. But by Nidrei Hoshus, if he doesn't say either Hareini Noider to make a Neder, Hareini Nishba to make a Shvua, so it doesn't get off the ground. There is another difference between them, which the Ramban does not discuss, but that's already a later development that goes as follows. The Gemara says in Shavuos, I think it's Chavav on the base, Amar Shmuel Gomar B'li B'tzach L'Hoitzi B'Sfasav. If a person made up his mind that he's accepting a Shavuah, so the Shavuah only becomes binding if he pronounces it with his lips. Shenema, it says in Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, Nefesh Kisishova Levate B'Sfasayim, Lohar Lahetiv, etc. So it says, Nefesh Kisishova Levate B'Sfasayim, you have to pronounce it with your lips. If you don't say it, even though it's Goma believer, he absolutely made up his mind that this is what he's going to do, this is what he's not going to do, it's not binding. Tzach Lahetiv B'Sfasayim. So the Gemara says, however, this is by, we assume the same is true by all in Yoni HaFloh. Haflah, the Rambam has a sefer. The Rambam has the Mishnah Torah. We don't call it Mishnah Torah. The Rambam calls it Mishnah Torah. He says, the reason why he calls it Mishnah Torah, all you have to do is read Tanakh and read the sefer, and you know all there is to know, you don't have to read anymore. So Klal Yisrael has decided that that was a little too much. So we call it by the nickname, Yarach HaZok, because it has 14 Svarim, Yud Dalet Svarim. So we call it the Yarach HaZok. We don't call it Mishnah Torah. Years ago, Ben Gurion visited America, and he visited Rabbi Soloveitchik, so they got to talking about things. So he said, he read all the 14 books of the Rambam. He didn't see anything special in them. He wasn't excited by the Rambam. Okay. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it was a joke. He read all the 14, the whole Yad HaChazak, he read all the 14 books. He didn't see anything special in the Rambam. So Rambam has one of the 14 Svarim that Ben Gurion read, Bechod Yatzma, is Sefer Hafla. Hafla means Yifarish Besosov. Parley, Rashi writes, parley balas, to pronounce with your lips. So in Yod HaFlo means Nadorim and Shavuos and Aziris and Erech and Hagdashis and Haramim and Hafrashas, Trumas and Mais, all the things that are Chal Yedei Amira, Chal Yedei Dibur, that's called Yod HaFlo. So the rule we learned out from that pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, Nefesh, Kisis, Shava, Levati, Bisvasayim, that all in Yod HaFlo need the Yifarish Bisvasov, parley balas. You have to pronounce it with your lips. Gama Belibo is not sufficient. But then the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule. Truma is chal b'machshava, because there's a pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. Korach was ma'arar ala kahuna, so after he was knocked off, so in the end of Parshas Korach, Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, the Chumash reviews all of the, not all, many of the matans kuna. There are 24 matans kuna, choftal of matans kuna. The Chumash doesn't record all of them there, but the Chumash records quite a few. To be mechazik, the institution of the kuhuna, the matans kuna, against Korach, who tried to do away with the whole institution of kuna the way the Rebbe Shalom wanted it. So there at the end of the Parshas Korach, it says, you have to give ma'isa rishon to the Levi, and then the Levi has to take out ma'isa mena ma'isa, and give that ma'isa mena, that's called trumas ma'isa, to the kohen. Then it says, v'nechshu lachem trumaschem, kadogen mena gor mecham leya mena yekiv. That trumas ma'isa, the ma'isa mena ma'isa, that the Levi gives to the Kohen, has the exact same status like the Truma Gedolah that the farmer takes out. The farmer has, let's say, 100 bushels of whatever, 100 bushels of potatoes, 100 bushels of grapes, 100 bushels of grain, whatever he has, he has to take out 2% as Truma Gedolah. But the Mishnah recommends that the Midah Beinonis is to give 2%. The person wants to be El Chipo, so the least he should give is 1 out of 60. If he wants to be very generous, he shouldn't be so generous, only give 1 out of 40. Don't give 50%. If you give 50%, 50% will become true. If you give 98%, also all becomes true. The Mishnah just says, if you donate everything, you declare everything should be true, so it's not chal. Thank you. You have to have shiareh nikarim. When you mafresh shumah, you have to leave over a little bit. So the Mishnah recommends everyone should give 2%. So the Torah says, "V'nechshu lachem trumas chem." The trumas ma'isa, 10% of the 10%. Now, that was 1% of everything. 10% of the ma'isa rishon that we gave to the Levi. So the Levi gives that 10% to the kohen. "V'nechshu lachem trumas chem." That has the exact same status. Kadogam and agam acham lehem and ayakev. Has the same status as Truma Gedolah. So that's the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk. And Echshol Lachem, this is considered. The Trumas Maisa is considered just like Truma Gedolah. So the Tanoim saw an additional level of interpretation in the word V'nechshav, Machshava. So you see that Truma Nitelas V'machshava. If a farmer has in mind, or the lady has in mind, I want this to become Truma Gedolah, Maisa Mena Maisa, it's Chal even without Amira. Truma Nitelas V'machshava is based on that additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Then the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim that there's another exception to the rule that something is chal b'machshava. The pasuk says, "Kol nadiv leiv oilus heviu." Whoever had been menadev belibom to bring a korban oil to the Beis Hamikdash, so they would bring it. So you see, kol nadiv leiv oilus heviu. If you're menadev belev, you're obligated to bring. The Rishayim discuss why they quote the pasuk in Chumash, "Kol nadiv leiv yevieho." Well, they have to dig up a pasuk with Divrei Hayomim. It's a good question. That's what the Gemara calls it. Dug up a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. No one ever heard of Divrei Hayomim. It's part of Tanakh. Okay. So they dug up a pasuk by Oilah, by Korban Oilah, and then the pasuk by Truma. So there's so these are the two exceptions to the rule, and all other in Yoni Haflo you have to have Amira. And if you just have Gama Belibo, it won't be binding. So there's a Rosh in Maseches Tainus where the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. We don't really have it in Tosfos Befarish. Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam is saying that if a person wants to be mekabel tainus, for some reason or another, there's a mochama in Eretz Yisrael, you want to be an eis tzor, it's a mitzvah to be mekabel tainus. A person has an exam coming up, a person wants to propose to a girl, and he's nervous the girl is not going to accept. Whatever personal or kalal eis tzor happens to be, so if a person wants to fast, so you should be mekabel tainus by mincha before the fast. The Gemara says if you fast without a Kabbalah's tainus, There's no kiyum mitzvah. You have to be mekabel tainus first. So Rabbi Natan says, when the person finishes mincha the day before, does he have to say hareini b'tainus lemocha, hareini noder lehisanus lemocha? Does he have to say it b'peh? So he's mecharish that the machshava is also good, the liba is also good. So why is that so? So this is unclear. So the Rishonim have three different versions of what the Rabbi Natan said. So one version is that the Rabbi Natan held that fasting on a tannus is compared to bringing a korban. This appears in the Gemara Brachas, the end of the second parak in Brachas. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Ha'osa tfilosa keva is improper. Ain't tfilosa tachnoni. You shouldn't daven tfilosa keva." What does that mean, tfilosa keva? So the Gemara has different interpretations what it means. So one interpretation is you just say the text of the Shemoneh Esrei. That's all. And if someone is sick, you don't add on a word. And if there's a war in Eretz, you don't add on. And if you need a shidduch, and if you need a job, it doesn't make sense just to say the text. You shouldn't just say keva, the exact same text every day. Whatever you need that day, you should add on in the proper location. You should always add on tachnunim. Acha tfilos in the middle of the tefillah. That's one of the pshatim the Gemara gives in the Mishnah. Oysa tfilos a keva, and tfilos a tachnunim. So the Gemara gives examples of tachnunim that different Amoraim used to recite after the Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara says one of the Amoraim had the practice whenever he would be fasting, he would offer a prayer. Yiratzim ofanecho, that the little bit of weight that I lost, miot chelbi v'domi, I lost a little weight, should be considered as if I brought a korban in the Beis HaMikdosh, and as if I sprinkled the dam of the korban on the Mizbech, and as if I burnt the fat of the korban on the Mizbech. Miot chelbi v'domi should be accepted as if I brought a korban. So the many Rishonim understand that the Rabbi Natan meant to say that just like Kol Nediv Lev Oilus Eviu, the Pasuk says, if you're Menadev Belibo to bring a carbon, so that is binding. That's one of the two exceptions to the rule, Truma and Carbon Oilo. So if a person is Mekabel Nedatainis, that's the same as being Magdash a carbon, because when he fasts, Miat Chalba Vedama is considered as if he offered a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. That's one pshat. Another version of the Rabbi Natan that the Rishonim have is the Rabbi Natan came up with a chiddush niflo, unbelievable, practically impossible to believe, that Rabbi Natan meant to say that there's a fundamental difference between a neder and a shvua. We know the first Gemara in the Dharma says there are differences between neder and shvua, many differences. So the main difference between neder and shvua is that shvua is an isa gavra, and neder is an isa chevtza. Neder always has to be b'shevi al tase. Can't have a neder bikumbi yaseh. Neder has to be isa chevtza. If he says, I take a neder, I'm not going to eat my mother-in-law's cookies, there's something wrong over there. You take a shvua, you're not going to eat. I'm not going to eat. The person speaks about the gavra, that's called the shvua. But if he wants to say, hareini noider, so I say, I take a neder, my mother-in-law's cookies should be osa b'achilala. You have to talk about the chevtza. There's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. What if he says, hareini noider? I take a neder, I'm not going to eat the mother-in-law's cookies. Is it chal mitam yad, or is it not chal mitam yad? All discussion in the Rishonim. First daf in the Dharma. So the Gemara says, the first daf in the Dharma, that there's a major difference between a neder and a shvur. That neder is an isa chevtze, and shvur is an isa gavra. That's why shvur can either be bekumbi yaseh b'sheve altasa, and neder always has to be b'sheve altasa. Then you have many other differences between neder and shvur that are based on this assumption. You learn mishnayis and shvuas. There are a lot of differences. Neder is not chal al adav b'shei mamamish, and shvua is chal. A lot of differences between. Nishba levatul samitzvah is not chal, neder is chal, because this is gavra, this is shvua. A lot of differences. So some of the Rishonim understood that the Rabbi Natan said there's another fundamental difference, not because one is chevtza, one is gavra. That pasuk that Shmuel quoted, called nefesh kisushava levatul b'svasayim, that pasuk in Vayikra, that's only by shvua. Shvua needs amir. Neder doesn't need amir. Whenever a person makes his magoma belibo, a neder, that the cookie should be osmachile. Doctor tells me I have to lose 40 pounds. So he makes up his mind he's not going to eat cookies. So half of the whole bunch of Rishonim say, the neder is chal, belief. You only need bitus v'saim nefesh kisushava levat v'saim by shvua, by neder you don't need. So since we talk about nidrei tainis, it's not a shvua, it's a neder tainis. A neder tainis is chal b'machshon. This is very difficult, very, very difficult to say like that. Hardly anybody holds like that. That's a very difficult version of the Rabbeinu Tam. Because the opening Mishnah in the Dorim says that there's a din of yad for neder or for shvua. What does it mean, yad? So the assumption is that you need levati bisvasayim. You have to say, you have to pronounce it. So the shot is, what if he only said a half a sentence? He didn't say the whole sentence. But based on the half a sentence that he said, we understand what he's driving at. So that's a din of yad. If he said mikzas dibur, and based on what he said, we understand the rest. So that's considered as if he said gzeiras akasav. A pasuk is considered as if he said the whole sentence. So the Mishnah says that there's a din of yadis nedarim. There's a sefer called yadis nedarim. A sefer on a dharm called yadis nedarim. Of course, there's a din of yadis nedarim. There's a din of yadis yad l'shvur. So what do you need a din of yad? You look on the first daf in nedarim. It's either the Rosh and the tiny letters of the Tosis, one or the other, both of them point out from the fact that there's a Chiddush din that Yesh Yad L'Nedarim, obviously you need Levat Tibis assigned by Neder also. If Goma Belibu is Chal, so what do you need a din of Yad? The whole din of Yad is a Chiddush that's only necessary if the Halacha really requires Amira and you only said a half a sentence. But from the half a sentence that you said, we understand what you're driving at, so it's considered as if you said the whole sentence. But if a neder doesn't need any deeper at all, so what does the Mishnah tell me, a chiddush that yesh yad l'nedarim? So this version of Rabbi Natan is a pella. It's not insurmountable. The kasha is not insurmountable. The teretz is, that's how the standard Mefarshim say the teretz is. The Gemara there, when the Gemara quotes on Daf Chavavim base, when the Gemara quotes Shmuel's statement, Goma Beliba, Tzach Lahotze Bisvasov, that if you made up your mind to accept the Shvua, it's not binding unless you had pronounced it with your lips. So the Gemara says, we have rayas to prove that Shmuel is right. So then the Gemara says, none of the rayas are a good proof. Because even if you hold that a Shvua is Chal B'machshove, but if you plan to say it B'amira, then it's not Chal unless you finish B'amira. So you can say the same by neder. Maybe the Rabbi Natan, maybe this version of Rabbi Natan is right, that by nedarim you never need amira. But if you plan to say the neder, so then it's only chal if you say it. So if you only said a half a sentence, so then if it conforms to the rules and regulations of yad, yad ha-machiach, yad shein ha-machiach, then more talks about when do you accept the yad. So then it'll be good. So this is the second version of the Rabbi Natan. First version of Rabbi Natan only said a little chiddush. That fasting at Tonis is the same as a carbon oil. Miyat chal bevidami is considered like I brought a carbon. And therefore, nidre tainis achal b'machshav. The second version is chiddush, tremendous chiddush, that is not really accepted. We don't really hold like that. That a neder is chal b'machshav. That's too big a chiddush. And the third version is the generally accepted version. And sure, the third version is that the Rabbi Natan meant to say that the pasuk that says kol nidiv levoy l'seviu is not restricted only to korbanos; it applies to all nidre mitzvah. Whenever a person takes a neder mitzvah, so nidre mitzvah achal b'machshava. So let's say a person pledges; they're making an appeal, and he decides he's going to give $1,000, and he never said it. Then the next day he changes his mind. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that we're machmer, that nidrei tzedakah achal b'machshava. You can't say that tzedakah is the same as a carbon. That doesn't say in the Gemara. It says that mi'atchal b'vidami, fasting on a tainus is like a carbon. Tzedakah is not like a carbon. But we assume this third version of the Rabbi Natan, what he meant to say was that all nidrei mitzvah achal b'machshava. That the Gzeres HaKasuf from the Pasuk and Divrei Hayomim, Kol Nidiv Levoy L'Seviu, is not restricted only to Korban Oilo. Some want to say it's only Korban Oilo. That doesn't even apply to Korban Shlomim. That's usually not accepted. We usually assume Kol Nidiv Levoy L'Seviu means by all Korbanos, it's Chal B'Machshov. And then we assume not only Korbanos, all Nidri Mitzvah are Chal B'Machshov. This is basically what we hold when we get to Minhagim. If a person observes a minik ta'if, so there's a Gemara in the Dorim that's quoted twice on Daf Tezvav and Daf Peyam and Beit, Daf Tezvav and Al Peyam and Beis. The Gemara says that there's such a concept as Bal Yachal Midrabbanan. Where do you have Bal Yachal Midrabbanan? Le Yachal Dvorah is a din deraisa. When do you have Bal Yachal Midrabbanan? So the Gemara quotes a braisa, Dvorim Hamitorim, Vacherim Noga Behem Iser. If something, strictly speaking, is mutter, but people have cherem noga bohem iser, there's a meaning that an individual meaning the person accepted not to do something, or the whole community has a minig. So then you're not allowed to tell them you don't have to observe that. Shenem le yachal dvor. So the Gemara says that's only by yachal mid the rabban. So the Ran in the Dorim on daf pei on the base quotes the Balei Atosis, and this is the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person or a community observes a minig toiv, the minig toiv is binding mitam neder mid the rabbanon. Gemara says it's not a neder min hatorv. It's only by yachal mid the rabbanon. You know, the Chassam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform movement, so he was fighting a lot against the Reform. So he had a lot of times he takes a stand because it's obvious because he's fighting against the Reform. So the Pischei Tshuva and Yerideya, the beginning of the third Chelek Yerideya, where they have this in Shulchan Aruch, about Minhagim, there's a whole simon in Yerideya that Minhagim are binding Mitam Neder. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chassam Sofer that Minhagim, see, the Reform first started by chiseling away at Minhagim. And then after they chiseled away here and there a minute, then they took the dinim derabbanan. Hey, mamru, hey, mamru. The rabbis introduced the din derabbanan, so we have a right to abolish the din derabbanan. Then they chiseled away all the dinim derabbanan, a little by little. It's known as the salami technique. You slice, you know, slice off a little bit, slice another, you're left with nothing. No salami left. So that's an English, an American expression, salami technique. So the Chassam Sofer is very upset. The Maharam Shik was a student of the Chassam Sofer, so he records in one of his tshuvas that at one of the conventions of the Reform Rabbinate, so they had two conclusions of the convention. First of them was that they're going to do away with Kol Nidre, because it's a Chil Hashem. The non-Jews make fun of the Jewish businessmen. They promise things in business and they don't observe it because they all say Kol Nidre on Leil Yom Kippur, so nothing is binding, so it's a Chil Hashem. So they don't want any more Chil Hashem, so we're not going to say Kol Nidre anymore. And secondly, they decided it's permissible to intermarry. You're allowed to marry non-Jews. Choy. So the Maharamshik says, Eish lehava about the Kol Nidre. He says, the intermarriage, that's not going to last. That's not going to fly. But the Kol Nidre, they're doing away with the Minhagim. They're going to get away with that. We have to put up a fight. I think they probably do say Kol Nidre, but the intermarriage, they probably do say Kol Nidre. It's a nice thing. And so the Chassam Sofer also, he's very touchy about Reform starting up in Minhagim. So the Pischei Tshuva in the beginning of the second Chelik, third Chelik Yerideya quotes from the Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, you know how serious Minhagim are, that a Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula, but a Sofik Minig is Lachumr, because Minig is a Din Deraisa, because it's Bal Yachal. That's what it says in the Chassam Sofer. So this is against the Gemara. The Gemara said the Farish that Dvarm Hamatar Machayim Nogah Behem Misa, meaning is an example of Bal Yachal Mid Rabbanon. That's the Gemara said the Farish on Daf Tezvo. The Chassam Sofer himself has 25 other tshuvas where he says that just like a Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula, Sofik Minig is certainly Lakula. Minig is less Chomer than a Din the Rabbanon. You have a Din the Raisa, then you have a Din the Rabbanon, then you have a Minig is lower. It's not higher. Minig is not higher than a Din the Rabbanon. But in that tshuva, he's attacking the reforms. He felt compelled to exaggerate a little bit. So he said, the Sofik Minig is Lachomer because it's a Bal Yachal. So this is the way the Ran quotes in the name of the Balei Atosis, that's the translation of the words in the Brisa. Dvarim Hamadar Vacherem Noga Behemisa. People have a minig, the chumra on something. So minig is binding mitam neder midirabon. Why is it midirabon? They never said hareni noida hareni nishba. If you don't say hareni noida hareni nishba, it's not binding unless it's nidre mitzvah. So this, if it's a minik ta'iv, so midirabbanan, we consider it as if it's nidre mitzvah. So you don't have to say hareni noida hareni nishba. And we followed this Rabbi Natam, that nidre ta'inis achal b'machshove, because that pasuk nidre ayamim, that says kol nidiv lev oilus eviyu, applies to all nidre mitzvah. And we stretch a little bit midirabbanan, we say, not only if it's an actual mitzvah, the fast of ta'inis is a real mitzvah sometimes. But even a minik ta'iv, a minig ta'if is also considered by stretch midirabban. We consider that as if it's nidre mitzvah. So that's chal b'machshav, and even though he never said harini noda harini nishba, but that would be fine. That's the way it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch. Strictly speaking, you don't have to observe the minig three times. If a person has goma b'libah, he made up his mind that from now on he's going to observe a certain minig ta'if, so then it's binding midirabban, even if he never observed it yet. He's hechlid b'libo. So Shulchan Aruch, they say there are two kinds of minig toif. Sometimes, let's say, a person observes a minik toiv once, and his mind was neutral. He wasn't thinking what's going to be next time. Let's say once when they're carrying the Sefer Torah to the Aron Kodesh, he follows the Chazan. Is carrying the Sefer Torah, he follows the Chazan. So that's beautiful. He's accompanying the Sefer Torah. So that's a beautiful minik. You're not mechuyev to. It's a minik toiv. So if he did it once, he wasn't thinking what's going to be Monday. He walks in. He wasn't thinking, what am I going to do Thursday? What am I going to do on Shabbos? It's going to be crowded in Mishul. What am I going to do on Rosh Hashanah? It's going to be even more crowded in Mishul. He wasn't thinking what he's going to do. So if he only did it once and he wasn't thinking, so it doesn't necessarily indicate that that's what he plans to do for the rest of his life. If he does it three times in a row, he does it this Monday and 3 weeks later on Thursday and a month later on Shabbos, it doesn't indicate anything either. But if he does it three times in a row when they're carrying the Sefer Torah, so that indicates, we take that as an indication that he plans to continue doing it all the time. So then it's considered like an umdin in the muchach that it was gama belibo. And then with the Rabbanon, there would be Bayachal. We treat it as if it's a Nidre Mitzvah, it's Chal B'machshava. If he observed the minig once, intending that he's going to always do like that, he thinks it's very nice, minig, he's always going to do like that, he learns Daf Yomi one day. And he says, hey, this is Gevaldik. And he has in mind, he's always going to do like that. So then if it's Gama Belibo, then he's Mukhayev to continue doing, even though he only did the minig once. And if he did it he did it once or twice, not planning what's going to be in the future, but he does it three times in a row, so then that also seems to indicate that he plans to continue doing it. That's why the Beis Yosef recommends, of all places, in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Beis Yosef recommends that whenever one observes a chumrah, a minik toiv, you should always either say and have in mind the first time b'li neder, so it won't be binding. There's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos how far you have to wash until it's a dime. So the Gemara says, for Netilas Yadayim for bread, you have to wash till there. And for Netilas Yadayim for Kohanim, you have to wash till there. So where's till there? The Amora was speaking, so he was pointing. So we don't have the picture, we don't have the video. So Rashi says, for Netilas Yadayim for bread, you have to wash till there. For Kohanim, you have to wash till the elbow. The Kohanim wash till the elbow. So obviously, we don't follow Rashi. So Tosfos says, for Netilas Yadayim for bread, you have to wash till the knuckles. And for Netilas Yadayim for Kohanim, you have to wash till the wrist. So we have a faucet. So we are in Europe. Until recently, they didn't have a faucet. They had to go schlep water from the wells. So they tried to save the tircha. It cost money to pay for the water. You had to go schlep the water yourself. We have faucets. You turn on the faucet, you get as much water as you want. So we always recommend to be choshesh for Rashi Shita. You always wash until it's a dime to the head. We're not choshesh for Rashi Shita. Kohanim should wash their hands till the elbow. That far we're not machma like Rashi. But for until it's a dime for bed, when you wake up in the morning, so we wash till the wrist. So the Beis Yosef says, but on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, when you're not allowed to wash your body unnecessarily, so the din is not like Rashi. So you're only allowed to wash till the knuckles. So everyone should have in mind the first time they wash until it's a dime till the wrist, everyone should have in mind Bili Neder. Because if they're not going to have in mind Bili Neder, then you're going to have an issue. What are you going to do on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av? Yeah, we don't have in mind Bili Neder. Because when we're little children, that's what they teach us in school. You always wash till the wrist, except for Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. You wash till the knuckles. That's built into the minute. That's built into the minute. Like the Dogma Ravava is a commentary, every 10 pages, and Nadi Behuda has a comment on the side of the page in the Yerideya. So he says, let's say a person has a minik toif. I have a minik toif, I stand for Kriya Satur. So Leitchik always used to stand for Kriya Satur. So I stand for Kriya Satur. Yesterday I was visiting in the yeshiva for Shabbos. I was sitting next to the Rosh Hashiva. He was sitting for Kriya Satur. So I'm going to stand. It's not Derech Eretz. So I'm next to him, so I was sitting. So I didn't make a Hataras Nador. So the Dogma Vava writes on the side of the page in Yeriday, he's interpreting, he's answering Akasha that Shachi asked. He says, it's self-understood that if a person has a Minik Tov and then he gets stuck once in a long while. So built into the Minik Tov is that if it's a big Shasat Chak, he's not going to observe it. Once in a while you violate it. The only time you need a Hataras Nador, if you accept an Minik Tov, then you, from now on you don't want to observe it. That's it. From now on, you're never going to observe it. But if once in a while, once every couple of months, you get stuck, so that's considered as if it's an understood clause within the minhag that you're not always, when you get stuck, you're not going to observe. So that's the Imre Yosher is a Tshuva Sefer written by Meir Arik. Meir Arik is one of the big Goyim in the early 1900s. All the big poskim were from Galicia, in the early 1900s. So he has very nice Tshuva Sefer. He says the three opinions regarding Maisak Sofim. That's in yesterday's Sedra. Kol Hashotit and Liyaseh Rasvei Moloch. So the three opinions regarding the nature of Maisak Sofim. So there is an opinion. And then we showed him that Maisek Sofim is a din deraisa. You're supposed to give 1/10 of your annual earnings to the poor. It's a din of Maisa Oni. Just like the third year and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, you're supposed to give Maisa Oni instead of Maisa Sheni. So you're supposed to give Maisa Oni from your earnings every year. So that opinion has never been accepted. That's they say. So Ravid seems to hold like that. We don't hold like that. Then the next opinion is in the running. There's a long taz in the end of Shin Lamed Aleph and the end of Yeridaya that Maisek Sofim should be the Rabbanim. So many hold like that. We really don't hold like that either. We hold that Maisek Sofim is Amidas Chassidus. What Yankov Avinu did was Amidas Chassidus. He pledged to give. So Rameir Arik writes that the first time in a person's life that he gives Maisek Sofim, he should really either say or have in mind B'li Neder. So it won't be binding. It won't, strictly speaking, won't be binding. And in case 1 year, it's difficult for him. So he won't be mechuyev to give the ma'isik sof. He shouldn't make it that is binding. That's, and he quotes this Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef says that you should have in mind b'li neder the first time you wash until it's a dime till the wrist. It's only a chumrah to be choshish for Rashi Shita. So the Gemara in the first parak in the Dorim quotes a pasuk in Koheles, Tova shelotida mishitida velo tushalom. It says it's better never to take a neder rather than to take a neder and to violate it. They're talking about a guy who's going to take a neder, pledge to give money, give $1,000 to tzedakah. So it's better not to take a neder at all rather than to take a neder and not to pay the money. Yeah, if you give the two options, everyone would agree. Tova shelotida mishitida velo tushalom. The machlekes hatanayim, what if he's neder umishalom? What if he pledges and he does pay the money? He has the money in the bank now. On Shabbos, he takes a neder, and after the Shabbos off, he's going to make out the check for the $1,000. Maybe that's tov mizeh mizeh noider mekayim. You say tov mizeh mizeh ein noider kalika. So that's a machlekes Rameir Reb Yehuda, the beginning of the Dorim. And we pass on halacha tov mizeh mizeh ein noider kalika. Best is never to take any in the Dorim because he may forget about it, or you may. You may forget about observing the neder. So it's best never to take a neder. The exception to the rule is yesterday's parsha. It says, "Vayida yankif neder lemar." So the medrash understands Tosis and Chulin. The first daf in Chulin quotes the medrash Rabbah on that pasuk lemar ledoris. The Gemara says the pasuk that appears so many times in the Chumash by Dabra Hashem and Moshe lemar. Lemar doesn't mean saying. Usually the probably the King James version probably says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses saying." Adab Hashem and Moshe Lemar. So Lemar is usually translated saying. And in modern Hebrew, we would cross out the word Lemar, put a colon, put a quotation mark. So you don't need the whole word Lemar. So the Gemara says in Yuma that's not what it means. Adab Hashem and Moshe Lemar li Yisrael. The word Lemar means Lemar Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorized Moshe Rabbeinu, he should tell it over to the Jewish people. And if not for that authorization, it would have been self-understood that he's supposed to keep it a secret. That whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever anybody tells you anything, it's understood that it should be held in confidence unless they give you permission to tell other people. Let's say someone's talking to his friend, he says, oh, he's thinking of divorcing his wife. He doesn't want everybody to know he's thinking of quitting his job. He's thinking of moving to California. It's someone else's business. So if I told you, I tell you how much money I earn every year, how much I pay in taxes. So, if I tell you something, it should be assumed that it's to be held in confidence, unless I give you explicit permission to tell it to other people. You have to have a lemar. Chavetz Chaim quotes it when he has the sefer of what you're not allowed to talk about, not allowed to talk Lashon Hara, Mechilas, and so on. So he has a whole section about this. You're not allowed to break someone else's confidence. When someone tells you something, you have to hold it in confidence, unless you're told the explicit permission. So the Medrash finds it difficult. How do you translate Vayid Yankath Neder Lemar? Lema li Yisrael. It doesn't fit in. Same thing. Oz Yashem Moshe b'nei Yisrael Tzrihos v'yomru lemar. V'yomru lemar. Say. How can you translate lemar, lema lachem? It doesn't fit in. So the Tanoim have a whole machlekes in the Mishnah in the Saita, in the middle of Saita. How do you deal with Oz Yashir, Bayam or Lema? What does Lema mean? It doesn't mean the same as it usually means. So here the Medrash Rabba works on this part. Here the Yankin Ned, the Lema, what does it mean, Lema? Obviously it means saying. It means colon and a quotation mark. So the Medrash says, no. Here the Yankin Ned, Lema Ladar is to teach the people, all the Jewish people in the future generation, they should do the same as Yankin Avinu. But it's a mitzvah legal based tzara. Even though normally we recommend you should never take any nidar, because it may violate, you may forget about it, you may have such a strong pressure, you may violate the nidar. Best is never to take any nidar, never to take any shvuas. But if it's an eis tzara, so then it's a mitzvah leader to be mekabel on nidar. When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, your age, so we used to have the mashgiach was Rabbi Lessen. He was from Slabotka. He was a big balmosa. He didn't fit in. He didn't fit in America at all. So he was the old time Baal Musa. He's a holy tzaddik. So he always used to say, but the Baal Musa had the attitude of Rosh Hashanah without a Kabbalah is Nishkin Rosh Hashanah. You have to have New Year's resolutions, like the Goyim say. You have to have New Year's resolutions. Because Rosh Hashanah is an Eis Tzara. God is judging the whole world. So it's a mitzvah leader be'eis tzara. It's a mitzvah to accept something be'eis tzara. But in the schus of this Kabbalah, you should be nitzel from the Yom Adin. So the Baal Musa used to accept Kabbalahs for Rosh Hashanah that were pretty reasonable that they're going to observe. So the Moshel, they would write down on a piece of paper, Mekabel, that it should be Mavis Edra every week, finish being Mavis Edra by Friday night. Something that's not unreasonable. They had time on their hands. Mekabel, that they're going to learn so many blood gemar. And I say, Mekabel, going to do 500 blood gemar a year, you may have violated. So it used to be Mekabel to finish at least 100 blood gemar, 150, something that was reasonable that they were pretty sure that we're going to succeed in doing it. Not going to pledge to give $25,000 to Tzedakah. They didn't have that kind of money. So Mekabel, within reason, to give to Tzedakah and always to pay attention to Chazaras HaShatz and to come to Minyan on time, to do Kabbalahs that they thought Ben Koloko they were going to observe. So that's based on this din. That's the first page in the third Chelek Yerodei. Mitzvah Lida B'yeh Sor. Even though usually we say it's best to Mizem Zeshen and Edekolik, it's best never to take any Nidorim. But B'yeh Sor, we would recommend that everyone should accept the Nedar. The Rishonim have a big problem. You get an Aliyah and they say, Amisha Derech, and they say, Babusha Nodar, you don't have any money. What's the Eis Tzara? Say, if you're in the middle of a war, so it's an Eis Tzara, okay? If someone is sick, it's an Eis Tzara. But if there's no Eis Tzara, everything is going well. So why do we have such an institution in Babusha Nodar? Well, let's say they make an appeal in Shul and people are calling out amounts of money. So why do we allow that? So that's a whole discussion in the Rishonim. Why do we have such an institution of having an appeal? So they have the first daf in the beginning of the dark. They have a whole discussion about that. So basically, it's not really right to accept any nedarim or shvuos. Tov mizem zeshen enoyde kolika. The only time you have it is be'es tzara, people do. I remember in my time, there used to be one Rebbe in the Shiva who was very colorful, Rabbi Gorelick. He was a very colorful individual, a colorful character. And he always smoked. And he knew that smoking is bad for your health. And he died from lung cancer. And he couldn't control himself, kept on smoking. He was addicted, so he would always take a neder. He's not going to smoke. Then he couldn't control himself, so he'd always gather together a bezna of three. They should be mat a neder. Every week he was making hataras and dorm. Every week he'd take a neder. He says in Shulchan Aruch that if a guy takes a neder not to do an aveira, and then he wants to not to play cards or something, he's addicted to card playing, takes a neder not to play cards, then he wants hataras and dorm. He says you're not allowed to be mat a neder for him, because you're just helping him do the aveira. But that's what he used to do all the time. He couldn't control himself with his smoke. So he died relatively young. He wasn't that young, but he died relatively young from lung cancer because he couldn't control himself. He kept on taking the nedarim and it didn't help. When you mat a neder, so you really shouldn't take any neder or shvuah. The only nedarim that are good are minik toiv. Okay, minik toiv. So minik toiv is a bal yachlam in the rabbanim, the Gemara says. So what if the person, say, if on one occasion, rare occasion, the person has to violate his minik toiv. So the Dogma Baba says you don't need a haftaras nedarim for that. That's considered as if it's built in. It's self-understood that once in a while he's going to violate. But let's say the person, the Kanal Habo, doesn't want to observe this practice. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you need a Hataras Nedarim. So how do you do a Hataras Nedarim? So you gather together.
Serves
nothings less than 6 hours after the lunch meal during the day. Then Lakewood also, when a Baron Kotler founded Lakewood Yeshiva, he gave lunch, he gave fleshiks for lunch, and every day they had milchiks for supper after 5.5 hours. That was his meaning, that you just wait into the 5th hour. 5.5 hours or into the 6th hour. I mean, you have a minute to wait a full. Someone has a minute to wait a full 6 hours. Who said? Rabbi Nevin
saw. Rabbi Nevin saw said we should. Just said, should we have the Taras and Darim first? Never spoken
about that. The question is whether Hataras and Darim would help, because Hataras and Darim is only if I took the neder. If it's a neder hakohol. So I'm not the balabas to be matter the neder. I belong to that kehillah who waits 1 hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is. So I'm not the one who took the neder. You have to get the whole kehillah to be matter neder. Hataras Nedarim, the pashto says, wouldn't even help. There's a rabbi in America told me when he was, he's almost my age. So when he learned in Eretz Yisrael, so at that time, the parents didn't fly the children back to America for Pesach. So he had to stay in Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. So he went to stay by his sister. He had a married sister. His sister married a misnagid, so they ate gibrochs. And he had his family meaning that they don't eat gibrochs. So he got all nervous, what's he going to do? His sister serves gibrochs. So his rabbi told him, his father was his rabbi, his father asked his rabbi. So the rabbi told me you should make Hataras Nedarim. So the pashto says that doesn't make any sense. You can't make Hataras Nedarim on gibrochs. It's not your meaning. It's the meaning of the whole kehillah that you come from. The Bala Neder has to make Hataras Nedarim. Then is in that case he was stuck. He had no other place to eat on Pesach. So he had to stay by his sister. So the Dogma Baba says if he gets stuck once in a while, so for the rest of his life he wants to observe gibrochs. Once in a long while, he gets stuck. So he's allowed to violate the meaning. It's self-understood. But Hataras Nedarim doesn't really make sense in such a case. If that's what the yeshiva does, in the stomach, you don't need a Hataras Nedarim. Yeah, it probably doesn't help. Hataras Nedarim doesn't help. So we do a Hataras Nedarim. If a person observed a minig toiv, that's an interesting thing. You know, before this, there was a great goyin in Europe known as the Ragachover goyin. He was the rov in Dvinsk. There were two rabbanim in the same little village, Yarsameach and the Ragachover, both rabbanim in Dvinsk. Deneburg. The Jews called it Dvinsk. Every city in Europe, the Jews had one name, and the goyim had a totally different name. Vilna, Varsha, every city, every famous city, the Jews had it. So the Jews called it Dvinsk. And the goyim called it Deneburg. So the Ragachover was the rabbi for the Hasidim. He himself was not the Hasid, but he was the rabbi for the Hasidish community. The Yarsameach was the rabbi for the Misnagdish community in this little village. So the Ragachover was famous. The Bachum who learned in the yeshivas in Europe at that time, in the 1920s, 1930s, I think he died in the middle of the 30s, early 30s, I'm not sure. So the meaning was they always used to send him a postcard with a kasha, and he would send an answer. He would go broke if he would have to pay for the postage, because he used to write many, many postcards every day. So they used to send him a double postcard, where the postage was paid already on the other postcard, prepaid on the other postcard. So they always asked him kashas and learning and shilas and everything. And sometimes they wanted to get him involved in politics, so he never got involved in politics. Someone asked him, what does he say about the Shalosh Shvuos? The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Ksuvos that there's a pasuk that appears 3 times in Shir HaShirim, Vishbati Eschem Eros Yerushalayim Teirim Torah Soavat Shetechpot. The Gemara says that that's a reference to the Shvuah that Klal Yisrael took, that we will not be Doichik HaSakeitz. We won't pressure the Umas Olam to let us have a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So that was what was going on in the 1930s. They were discussing the Balfour Declaration, was it the first after the First World War, and then the British weren't giving the Jews Palestine. They promised they're going to give Palestine to the Jews. So the Jews were good, and they were bombing the hotels and bombing the train stations. They were pressuring the British to give fulfill their promise. They promised they're going to give the Jews. So that was the whole deal then. Is that permissible or not? Is that the violation of the Shavuot Shavuos? So they asked the rabbi, and there was a whole machlokes, the Agud had a whole discussion in their annual, in their convention, the Knesset Agdol, is it permissible to establish a Medina? Remember, Rav Soloveitchik used to go visit Rav Chaim Eisenman. Rav Soloveitchik studied in university in Berlin, so he used to go travel to Vilna every so often to visit Rav Chaim Eisenman to talk and learning. So he said, Rav Chaim Eisenman was a super genius. Whatever you would tell him, Rav Soloveitchik had a lot of original chidushim, so whatever you would tell Rav Chaim Eisenman, he said, yeah, it says in this and this sefer. He says, it was so frustrating. Every big chidush that he came up, Chaim Eisenman said, yeah, yeah. He climbed up on a ladder, he pulled out a sefer. Yeah, it says it over there. Everything that he thought was his brainstorm, he showed him everything. He says he was a genius in politics, everything. He knew he was all around everything. He was super genius. They say he could write with both hands at the same time. He could carry on conversations on a telephone, give a smichah b'chin and paskan on a chicken, everything all at the same time. A super genius. So Rav Soloveitchik said, when he was discussing with Rav Chaim Eisenman about the Hakamas on Medina, Chaim Eisenman died in 1940 or something like that. So in the 30s they were discussing, Rav Soloveitchik, this was in the 20s. He was discussing with Rav Chaim Eisenman. So he said, Rav Chaim Eisenman said, when hair will grow on this side of my hand, then it's going to be Medina. It was so far from anyone's mind. The Aguda was discussing, they were discussing it, but it was so far from reality that the love of me. So he said, when hair will grow on this, on the palm of my hand, then there'll be a Medina. No one ever thought there was going to be. It was min ha-shamay. All our comments on Medina was min ha-shamay. And I get involved in that. I forgot already. What was I talking about? A Torah in the door? Huh? Oh, so they asked the Rogachava, what does he say about the Shalosh Shavuos? What does he say about the Shalosh Shavuos? So it was a political question. They wanted him to say, does he hold the, is he opposed to HaKamas HaMedina or not? So he didn't want to get involved. So he writes a Shtigl Torah on the Shalosh Shavuos, and it's printed, and they have a collection of all the letters. He had only one daughter, and the daughter was married to a rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, and she went back, in the middle of the war, she went back to print her father's letters, and then they told the Meshugana, don't go back, you're going to be killed by the Nazis. She was killed by the Nazis. She never had any children. So there's nothing left from there, Rebbe Chaim. So in the collection that the daughter printed of the letters of her father, so they have this response. He wrote, I never took the Shavua, you never took the Shavua. The Jewish people took the Shavua centuries ago, before the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wrote this in Shir HaShirim. Ishbati Eskimo Reshmishma, so why is it binding on us? He says, you see from the Psukim that there are two types of Shavuos. There's a Shavuos HaYachin and a Shavuos HaTzibur. And whoever is a member of that Tzibur is bound by the Shavuos HaTzibur. And he said, and that basically that's what Menhogi HaTzibur are based on. There's Menhogi HaYachid. And Yachid takes a Neder L'Dvar Mitzvah, so it's binding, and we treat Minik Toiv as if it's a Neder L'Dvar Mitzvah Midrabbanon, Bal Yachin Midrabbanon. So it's Chal Balev. So there's such a thing as Minhogi HaTzibur. So it's binding Mitam Neder HaTzibur, as if the Tzibur had taken a Neder to observe this. So that's, let's say, to wait 6 hours. That's an old Minik from the days of the Gemara. So to be mata that neder, you have to go to the community. A yochid, it doesn't make sense. A yochid should be mata neder. It's not his personal neder to be mata. You have to get the whole community to be mata neder. So the only time the darim comes up is if a person observes a minik type, says binding time neder midrabbanim, and then he realizes that it's too hard to observe it, so then he should have a taras and darim. So the Gemara says in the end of the darim, the Gemara says, you can either have a yochid mumche, be matan neder yichidi, or you can have shlosha had yaitis. There's a balabas who's older than me, 10 years older than me, comes to my shir. He's retired already. So when he was a teenager, he learned in Cleveland and he tells the yeshiva. So he's already in his 80s. So he seems to remember the Rabbi Yemei of Lach was matan neder for him all by himself. I said, yeah, imagining things. Nobody's matan neder yechidi b'zman hazeh. We don't assume that anybody has a din of a yochid mumche. We always, there are different opinions. The Ran in the end of the Dharm says there is an opinion that a yochid mumche means that he has smicha. B'zman hazeh, nobody has real smicha. All the smicha is imitation smicha. And even if you hold that it doesn't mean somach, yochid mumche, in that context does mean somach, It means an unusual big Talmud Chacham, one of the most prominent Talmud Chacham of the generation. So we don't follow that. We never have Hataras Dorim by Yochid Mumcha. We only have Shlosha Hedyotas. So the Gemara says that the Shlosha Hedyotas can even be if one of them is a Korif to the Bala Neder. Usually when you have a Bezdin, so the Bezdin, none of the members of the Bezdin can be Korifim to the Bala Dvar. Here the Gemara says it's okay, you can have. The Shaila is, what if the two members of the Bezdin are Korifim to each other? Let's say you have a father and a son, you have two brothers. Is that also acceptable? That doesn't say Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say, if one of the members of the Bezdin is a Korif to the Bala Neder. So I remember years ago, Baron Soloveitchik used to teach in the yeshiva before he moved to Skokie. So he used to say that Rabbi Akiva Eiger says there on the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the page, that even though a Korav is good to serve in the Gemara said there, the Korav is good to serve in the Bezdin of Hataras Nedarim, but an Isha is no good. Why? Because a Korav, it's a kosher Bezdin for someone else. So even though for me, it shouldn't be a kosher bezin. It's not related to that dayan. So that's the kula in Hilchas Nedarim. Since the bezin is a kosher bezin, so it's even good for me. But if you have an ish on the bezin, so the bezin is never a kosher bezin. We assume that two opinions in Tosfos, but the ish is kosher lodam, but a woman can serve as a member of a bezin. So we're machmir that, but a woman should not serve as a member of a bezin. Women rabbis is a discussion in Tosfos. The accepted opinion has been for centuries. We don't allow women rabbis, and we don't allow women to be members of the Bezin. So that's what Rabbi Kivega says, that a woman on the Bezin of Hataras Nedarim is not acceptable. So that's Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik says, if you have a Bezin that consists of two people who are related to each other, two or three people related to each other, that's never a kosher Bezin anywhere. So using Rabbi Kivega's logic, you shouldn't have Krovim in the Bezin. Remember, the Bezin can be carved to me, but they shouldn't be Krovim to each other. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Mechaber writes that the minig is when the Bezdin makes a Hataras Nedarim, so they say three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Why is the minig to say three times? Because the Karoim, the Karaites, you're on Rechov HaKaroim here. So the Karaites never accepted Hataras Nedarim. It doesn't say Chumash, it's only known through the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Chumash talks about Hafara, the husband or the father. Sometimes, not always, has the right. If it's Vamshah, they don't need me in Nefesh. So the father, the husband, sometimes has the right to be Mefer than a Dorm. So our meaning is we never allow Haforas Nedarim. Because it's very difficult to learn the Gemara there at the end of the Nedarim. It's very difficult to establish, to determine what's called in Nefesh and what's called Bein Ol Bein Ol. So we never rely on the husband or the father making Hafara. But we do follow the institution of Hataras Nedarim. And to emphasize that we do subscribe to the Dorosh Baal Peh, so we say three times, Mutalach, 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 L'chizek u'inyan, to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Dorosh Baal Peh. And the Gemara going there, on that sif in the Shulchan Aruch, refers you to the Mishnah Menachos and Perek Rabbi Shmuel, that during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were the Tzedukim who didn't accept the Dorosh Baal Peh. So they felt that Shavuot should always be an extended weekend. Shavuot should always be on Sunday. Sfaratim Lachamim Marchas HaShabbos, you always start counting Sfira on a Sunday. Sunday through Shabbos is 1 week, 7 weeks, 7 weeks of Sunday through Shabbos. And then Shavuot is on a Sunday, because Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. As the Gemara presents their argument, Moshe Rabbeinu, Oy Yisrael Hoy, as if Moshe Rabbeinu made up the whole Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, and since Shavuot is only a one-day holiday, so what are you going to take off in the middle of the week on Tuesday or Wednesday? So they make an extended weekend, like a president's birthday. So it's always an extended weekend. Whatever the birthday is, they always make it a Monday. They always make the holiday a Monday. So everybody should have an extended week. So that's what the Tzedukim said. So when the Chachamim used to do Ktziras HaOmer, according to the Tzedukim, Ktziras HaOmer is always on a Matzoi Shabbos. So whatever they would do Ktziras HaOmer on any day other than Matzoi Shabbos, including Friday night, so it's Doicha Shabbos, so they would make a big hullabaloo and they would have everything repeated three times. So the guy would stand with the sip and he said, there would be a big crowd of many people, he would scream out loud, "Should I cut the Omer tonight?" Everybody would scream, "Are you sure I should cut it tonight?" "Yes, even though it's not Matzoi Shabbos." "Yes." "Should I use this sickle?" "Yes." "You sure I should use this sickle?" Everything three times. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that our meaning is that we say Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach three times to demonstrate that we don't follow the Karoim. we follow the tradition of the Torah Shebaal Peh that we believe there is such a thing as HaTorah Nedar. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have the meaning that we do HaTorah Nedar. So the text is printed in the Siddur, then it says you say it three times. So the Achranim point out that's a mistake. When you say it once, it already says it three times. It says Hakol Mechulam Lecha, Hakol Shirim Lecha, Hakol Mentarim Lecha, Enkan LaNedav LaShvei LaRaRaRaRa. So you say that three times, you say it nine times. If you say it once, it already says three times. So they say that's a mistake. But it's printed in the Siddur, that's a mistake. We have a minig that we say Kol Nidre right before Yom Kippur. It's a question exactly what's the connection between Kol Nidre and Yom Kippur. So there are different explanations. So one historian from around 1860s, I think, someone from Germany, I never heard of him. I once read his essay, I never heard of him before or after. He writes a whole fascinating idea. He documents it that in Alexandria, before the days of the Rambam, they used to have a parade. The Orthodox Jews used to have a parade on Yom Kippur in support of the Torah Shebaal Peh, because they had a lot of Karoim there who didn't accept Torah Shebaal Peh. And there are 2 days in the year that we celebrate Kabbalah Sotah. We celebrate on Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinah, and we celebrate on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says, Yom Kippur, the last daf in Titus, the Gemara says, Yom Shenitim Aluch HaShnias. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Aluch HaShnias on Yom Kippur. So the Mafarshim discuss what do you need 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah's Torah. So the Beis HaLevi and several others say Shavuos is the celebration of Kabbalah's Torah Shebichzav, and Yom Kippur is the day on which we celebrate Kabbalah's Torah Shebaal Peh. So this professor of history from the 1860s, someone in Germany, said he thinks that that's why the minhag began to do HaTorah Nedarim on Erev Yom Kippur, to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. We believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh, because this is an issue that the Karaites never accepted. That's why Sen Shulchanach, we say three times, L'chizek Ha'inyan. Why do we ever have to make a HaTorah Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah if he already said Kol Nidre? He said Kol Nidre, we're matin, the two versions of Kol Nidre. So one version is, we're matu all the Nedarim of the past year, okay? Yom Kippurim Shabbat, Yom Kippurim Hazeh. And then the other version, the Rabbeinu Tam's version, is based on the Gemara Nedarim, Yom Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippurim Haba Aleinu L'Toivo, with making a declaration in advance that the Nedarim and the Shavuos that we'll make in the course of the coming year should not be binding. So once he made that declaration, so nothing is binding. So what do you need a HaTorah Nedarim on Erev Rosh Hashanah for? So Bemis, on that Gemara in the Dharm, that a person can make such a declaration in the beginning of the year, none of the Dharm will be bad. So there are different opinions in the Rishayim, to what extent does it help? So some are of the opinion that that declaration in the beginning of the year only helps if at the time that you took the Neder, you forgot all about the declaration. But at the time you take Neder, you remember that you said Kol Nidre, and you take the Neder anyway, so then you may have pulled at my door. The taking of the Neder is a bit la my door, and then the Neder will be binding. And other Rishonim say just the opposite, that the declaration at the beginning of the year only nullifies all the Nedarim that you take in the course of the year. If at right after the time you took the Neder, you remember that you said Kol Nidre, and you have in mind that you're backing out right away. So because the opposite opinions, when the Kol Nidre takes effect on the Nedarim and Shavuos that one will accept in the course of the year, so that's when we never rely on the Kol Nidre. So we are choshish when a person actually takes a Neder or Shavuos, that it will be binding. We have, every so often, we have an intermarriage. A Sephardi marries an Ashkenazi girl, or an Ashkenazi boy marries a Sephardi girl. So they have different minhagim and bakitnias and whatever. So the question, what do you do? So we usually begin by assuming, let's say kitnias or whatever other minhagim you're talking about, these are not private individual minhagim, private individual minhag. So the husband could have his minhag, the wife can have her minhag. She waits 6 hours and he waits 3 hours. There's no stir. The answer is these are not private personal minhagim. These are minhagi ha-tzibur. So the question is, what tzibur do you belong to? So we assume the premise is the husband and the wife, who are still married to each other, they can't belong to two different tzibur. Either he joins her tzibur, or she joins his tzibur. So who should we consider joining whose tzibur? So we usually say the wife enters the reshus of the husband. So that's what we usually say. So that's why we assume. Rav Moshe assumes all the time when a couple gets married. So the wife enters the reshus of the husband. She enters, she joins along with his tzibur. Not that he joins along with her tzibur. Rav Moshe also, she doesn't even need hataras nedarim. It's not even chal hataras nedarim. The neder was taken by the kehillah. She doesn't belong to that kehillah anymore. The Gemara says in Psachim, there's a whole parak called Machm Shinabu. So if I used to live in one city where they had certain minhagim, and then I moved to a different city, I go from Makom Shenagu to Makom Shelo Nagu. And I don't plan to move back. I moved there permanently. So no longer a member of that tzibur. Mikan lahabo, I'm a member of this tzibur. So I no longer have to observe the old minhagim. And mikan lahabo, I have to observe the minhagim of the new tzibur. So that's what Rav Moshe assumes. When a girl gets married, she enters into the reshus of her husband. Sometimes you can say she enters the reshus of the husband. Let's say the boy's a ger. The boy's a balchula. And the girl has a tradition for centuries. She's from a religious family all the way back to Maimon HaSinai. So what do you mean? The girl enters his reshus. He doesn't have anything. He's a balchula, he's a ger. He enters her reshus. So he should follow all of her minhag. But this only as far as minhagim are concerned. Minhagi hatzibur. Minhagi hayachidi, the husband and the wife can have their own private minhagim. One has nothing to do with the other. When Hagi at Tzibur, we assume they have to belong to the same Tzibur. And it doesn't affect Shaila Sida. Let's say you have a Shaila Halacha L'maisa. So you have to have a Shaila on Kashrus, a Taras HaMishpacha. So they got to make up their mind. And he always follows his rabbi. She always follows her Rosh Hashiva. He follows his Rosh Hashiva. She follows her Rosh Hashiva. When they got married, they had a machalek. It's about the her Rosh Hashiva should be Masada Kedushin. His Rosh Hashiva should be Masada Kedushin. So in Shilas and Halacha, so each one should continue to follow whoever they ask until now. If it's in Kashrus, the Taras HaMishpacha, so they have to be machmer for both, I guess. They have to make up their mind what they're going to do. The wife can't say, well, I follow my Paisik and I ignore you. It's relevant for the husband. But as far as other Shilas are concerned, not Shilas, they have to do it both of them together. So let each one follow his own rabbi. There's no Halacha that says that the husband and the wife have to follow the same Paisik. We assume the husband and wife have to belong to the same tzibur. It doesn't make sense. She belongs to the Sephardic tzibur. He belongs to the Ashkenazi tzibur. They have to both belong to the same tzibur. In halacha, in psak halacha, each one follows his rebbe. That's the main din. When you have a shayla, the halacha says each one has to follow Rabbi Muvach. The Chumash says, when there's a machlokes, ki palamim chadav al hamishpat, bein dam no dam, divrei rivus b'sharech, v'kamta ba'lisa, go ask the Bez Nagadol. Why is the psak of the Bez Nagadol binding on all the members of Klal Yisrael? Because the Bez Nagadol are the G'doli Hador. They're not appointed for political consideration. They are the G'doli Hador. So the G'doli Hador, Taisus says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, Taisus and Brochus has a gemara like that, the G'doli Hador have the status of Rabbi Muvok, even though I never learned by them. And that's the basic halacha, that the psak of Rabbi Muvok is binding on all of their talmidim. So if the husband and the wife have a different Rabbi Muvok, she always asks her Rosh Hashiva, and he always asks his shaddas to his Rosh Hashiva. So after they get married, it doesn't have to change. Only the issues that they share in common, the Taras HaMishpacha with the Kashvas, but in Hilchos Shabbos, she can follow her Rebbe, he can follow his Rebbe. Each one can follow whatever they want. That's not a problem. The Gemara has a machlokes in the end of the Dorm, when you make a Taras Nedarim with a Paischem Bacharota. Is it sufficient? The different Pshatim, what it means, Paischem Bacharota. So the way we usually learn Pshat, do you have to have a Pesach? You have to say, the guy says, I didn't realize that I'm going to get into such trouble. If I would have realized this information, the truth is, I really would not have taken a Neder. So if it's really true that he wasn't conscious of all the ramifications of the nether, and if it's really true that if he would have known what he knows now, he wouldn't have taken the nether. If he tells a lie to the Bezna, I wouldn't have taken a nether. It's a lie. And they say, mutalach, 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 the nether is not mutter. Only if he's telling the truth. He has to really judge honesty on himself. If I would have realized that my mother-in-law is going to get so angry at me because I'm not going to eat her cookies, I'm not going to visit her, and my wife is going to get so furious and it's going to rip apart my marriage, I would never have taken the neder. So if it's really true that he would have never taken the neder, that's called a pesach. So we declare it as a neder betos. So lechatchila, it's better to have a Pesach. But if you can't find a Pesach, so then you can be matan neder with a charota. Charota means I have charota that I ever took the neder in the first place, and he has to be telling the truth. Again, if he's lying, if it's not true, so then the whole hataras norm is not valid. So when it comes to minik toif, if a person does a minik toif, what's going to say? Have charota that I ever gave my sixofim. Have charota that I ever followed the sefer Torah. Yeah, have charota on doing a davar toif. That's scandalous. You're not allowed to be matan neder ledvar mitzvah based on charota. What do you do if he doesn't have a Pesach? What do you do if he doesn't have a Pesach? He's lazy. He doesn't want to do the meeting anymore. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, he should say, I don't, it says in the Siddur, I don't have charata for the Maisim Tovim that I did. I have charata that I didn't say Bali Nedim. That he can I say, I have charata that I didn't say Bali Nedim. I should have said Bali Nedim.
Remember,
I don't know what he did. I used to see him making, I don't remember ever participating in his Hatar. We just saw him gathering together boys every other week, making the Hatar's name. I don't know what he did. So that's the minik, that when you want to be matter the neder for minik ta'if, so you're not allowed to say, I have charata that I ever observed the minik ta'if. You're not allowed to have charata. A toy ala rishainas is a terrible thing. When a person did mitzvahs, then he has charata that he was ever religious. So he's going to be punished for having charata for doing mitzvah. He should say, I have charata that I didn't say believe in. Okay. Bakasha. Pardon me?
For Pesach,
you
didn't realize an invitation
your neder
would have, even for Minhag Tov, like,
without
Pesach,
you
didn't realize.
You don't understand again,
you
for Pesach?
Made
a
Pesach
for
a
neder.
A Pesach for a neder, yeah?
Yeah, even for Minhag Tov. If you didn't realize it.
Yeah, let's say the guy, yeah. Let's say the guy pledges to give $100,000 because he used to be wealthy, and then later on he loses all of his wealth. There's a crash in the stock market, and he can't afford to give so much money. So that's a Pesach. He can't have a Pesach. The world came to an end or something. But the market going down, he should have realized that he may lose all of his wealth. Yeah.